Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defond LeBron Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in westerly Rhode Island, this is episode 244 of the Por Favor Manténganse Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman. Up in westerly Rhode Island. Good evening, Mr. Klinsman.
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
That's good. Just okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Hasn't the World Series win, doesn't that like lift your spirits a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
They're a fun team to watch this year, don't you think? The Boston Red Sox?
Mm-hmm.
They were a very fun team to watch. Alex Cora, fun manager. A lot of good young talent. Solid pitching. Like, that 2013 team, they weren't very likable. I wasn't in love with that team. They were kind of boring to watch, and they kind of fell backwards into that World Series 5 years ago. But this team had it all. I mean, they won 108 games. That's pretty incredible.
Offense, fast. Offense, defense. Yeah. They pitched.
The defense was so good. Like, every time the ball was put into play, you were surprised when, like, a ball would drop in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime, yeah. They're a solid team, and obviously the best team they played in the playoffs was probably Houston.
Yes, I would say.
Although the Yankees put up, besides that 16-1 game, they put up a pretty decent fight. But Houston, and no one even came close. The Red Sox never even had to play an elimination game.
No,
they steamrolled through the playoffs. It was fun to watch,
except for that Friday night game.
That was pretty tough. That was pretty tough. I was not a big fan of Mr. Kinsler.
He had a bad World Series.
Not a great look for him on that play. I mean, that throw down to first, it was tough because it was already extra innings. What was that, the 12th, the 13th when
14.
That happened?
I think it was 14.
That was 14th?
Yes.
So I'm already loopy, seeing like double. I think by that point I got my second wind, which is never good. And then they're up by a run. They just score on that goofy play in the top of the inning, the Red Sox. And then, he makes that play on Puig, and he's not, like, lollygagging it down the line, but he had a ton of time, and he rushed that throw and threw it about 96 feet.
I don't understand Eduardo Nunez jumping into the stands either.
Why he fell in?
Yes.
Well, he couldn't stop himself.
He could have. He had a lot of room.
Yeah, but he was coming all the way from second base. He wasn't playing third. They had the shift on.
I know, but he had a lot of room if you watch that replay.
You think he did it for dramatic effect?
If you watch, he turns around, so he doesn't even fall head first, like Jeter did.
Well, he was backing in when he caught it, though, wasn't he?
No, he caught it running, and then he flipped around.
Then he turned. Oh.
And then he flipped around so that he could go butt first into the stands.
I'm not going to give him crap. He put everything on the line in that game.
Yeah, he did, but I just... If he was flopping, that's a bad time to flop right there.
Yeah. Did you see the quote, like, after he, when the catcher, like, rolled into his leg in the top of that inning, and I guess Cora went out because he had messed up his knee or his ankle or something.
Yeah, Cora said that he took a while going out, though, because he was even saying on that Nunez is a flopper.
Is it? Yeah.
He said that. Cora did say that. He said he's a flopper.
But I guess the quote, like, because I read something some media guy said afterwards, and he said to him, he's like, "Yo, I'm not coming out of this game." And Cora's like, "Of course you're not. We have nobody else."
Yeah, we don't have anybody else. That's beautiful, isn't it?
They wanted to put Chris Sale in as a defensive replacement at third base.
As a lefty.
I think they might have shifted some things around.
Back in Little League when your shortstop was a left-hander.
Yeah, a left-handed catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that was crazy. That game was ridiculous. It just kept going and going and going. At some point, after they retied it in the 14th, everyone was just trying to hit a solo home run. That's all it was.
And you didn't want to lose that game because you never know what the hell Kershaw is going to do.
No, I mean, it was only 2-0. That was the first game in Los Angeles, so they still had a lot of momentum after they won that game, the Dodgers. And they carried it over to the next day. You know, there was a good 24-hour period in that World Series where I didn't feel too good about the Red Sox chances.
Right.
It seemed like the magic was up. You know, I wasn't questioning Cora's decisions. It's just they weren't working for a brief period. You know, a couple things didn't work out in his favor. I still think he made the right call.
Yeah.
On all of those, but sometimes it just, you know, they don't deliver.
Yeah,
you said the same thing. I wasn't saying, you know, I didn't second guess leaving Rodriguez in or any of the decisions, but, you know, he threw a meatball to Puig and he blasted a three-run home
yeah,
run.
Yeah, now looking back at it, I do think he, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but even Cora said I left him in too long. Because I was just looking at the numbers, how Puig's terrible against lefties.
Right, they were even saying that on the broadcast.
He said the next day, he said I left him in too long. He had nothing left, and I should have realized that.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, you play the numbers. I guess they could have brought in a different lefty. Could have brought in a Pomerantz or something, but I don't think he even had... He had someone warming up. I don't know if he had a lefty in there, but I guess that's neither here nor there. But Roberts took a lot of crap for taking out Hill.
Oh, my God. Game. Well, the great thing is, too, is that he doesn't even manage that team.
Roberts?
He's a puppet.
Yeah.
All that stuff comes from upstairs.
From the GM? Yeah, because they were telling him, like, guys weren't available.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the World Series. You're going to tell me Walker Buehler's not available to
pitch?
Well,
we'll get into that, too, because I think that's a joke. But Hill apparently wanted out of the game.
Well, yeah, because they said in the dugout the inning before, he said, keep an eye on me.
Right.
Which, what does that tell you? That means he's blown up at that point.
Right.
And then Roberts comes out to the mound to talk to him. And
he hands him the ball.
He walks off the mound and hands him the ball, and Roberts hadn't even made the call out to the pen. You saw his, like, face right after that. And he looked
and
surprised.
And he wants to say, every time he came out to get me. We never had a conversations, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. You're a bulldog. You ask. If he's taking you out 99 times, 100 times he comes out, you still have to try to talk him out of taking you out of the game.
And also, all those other times weren't in the World Freaking Series either.
Right. And you weren't dealing. I mean, they couldn't hit this guy.
No, it was unbelievable.
I mean, I remember about 20 minutes before they took him out, I said something about Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, right. And then as soon as he came out, you could see, like, the weight was lifted off the red. They said, we have a chance. We got a chance here.
Unbelievable.
And they just bashed 9 runs in the last 2 innings of that game. And then, you know, game 5 was never in doubt. Even with Kershaw on the mound, as soon as they hit that 2-run home run in the first inning, you knew.
Mm-hmm.
They just had it. They weren't going to lose it. I wasn't thrilled about Price letting up the solo home run on the first pitch right after that, but then
when he gave up that home run, Susie said, I think it's going to be one of those games, and I said, yeah, well, I don't want another one of these. Just a high-scoring, four-and-a-half-hour National League game.
Right, but he settled right down.
He was nails.
I mean, they said, what did he retire, like 17 in a row
or
something?
Yeah, 17.
And that was after Martinez let the ball go over his head, so it would have been like 20 in a row if he had caught that. Which was, I mean, you can't blame a guy go lost in the sun, but that was an easy play otherwise.
And I was never a David Price fan, but I never realized what a great teammate he is.
Everyone loves him.
Everyone loves him. And I was watching MLB Network, I think, and one of the guys who was on was saying when David Price signed with the Red Sox, they said, what can you tell me about David Price? And the guy said, he's the best guy I've ever played with. He's an unbelievably great teammate.
Because he seems like such a dink otherwise.
You know, I told Chris, and I said, I think the problem with him is he's a Vanderbilt guy. He's a very smart guy. And I think he overthinks too many things.
It's possible.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just, I think he wears it on his sleeve and a lot of things bother him.
I think he's very sensitive.
Yeah, he's very, very sensitive. He doesn't forget.
Right. That probably what makes him good, too.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that he doesn't, a lot of things on the field, he keeps with him, though. Seemed to get rattled a lot.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
We're in those freakish moments when Pedro will give up 3 in the first, and then, like, he just pitch 8 more, like, you know, 7 scoreless innings after that.
Right, exactly.
He had a very, very, very short memory when he was on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things I do want to say is I think the Los Angeles Dodgers are very, very soft.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very soft. We already talked about Hill asking out of the game. But the same thing with Buehler.
Yeah.
Why aren't these guys in the bullpen? I mean, David Price pitched, then he pitched, came out of the bullpen, and then he tells Cora that he wants to pitch the next game.
Eovaldi came up to Cora on Saturday after that 18-inning game and told him he was available out of the bullpen if he needed him.
And this is a guy who's come off 2 Tommy Johns. He's in a free agent year.
And he's thrown in all 3 games. He threw 6
innings. And you know
innings.
Damn well he's not going to be right next year. I mean, he basically gave up everything to win this World Series.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And I was talking to this guy. He's a Dodger fan. I was talking to him at the golf course. And I was saying, hey, hate to say it, but I mean, the Dodgers are very soft. And he's like, what do you mean? So I told him, I said, what's this Bueller thing? And he's like, oh, this kid, he's going to be the best pitcher in baseball, blah, 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 blah. I said, but you're trying to win. What are you trying to get first place again in the NL West next year? Or in the next 5 years? I thought you're trying to win.
Yeah, there's no guarantee they'll be back in the World Series in the next 15 years.
Let's look at good old Steven Strasburg a couple years ago when Washington basically all but, you know, had that trophy handed to them.
Right.
And they had to shut him down. Well, that's done. Washington's done a hell of a lot, haven't they?
Yeah, and Strasburg hasn't been anything either.
No.
Sometimes you just gotta roll with it.
They just always finish first. They have a good regular season. And then they take big old dumps in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the Sox can keep it together, but there's a lot of moving parts this offseason. You know, they got to re-sign some people, get some free agents in here.
I don't think you bring Kimbrel back.
No, I think he's gone.
I think he's done.
I think Price is going to opt in.
Oh, he's always said he was going to do that.
But is he going to try to get traded? Is he going to try to shoot his way out of town? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
You know, we'll wait and see, but at least he's regained a lot of value, so if they do have to trade him, they're not going to get fleeced for that deal at this point.
Joe Kelly's going to get a nice contract, huh?
Joe Kelly, he might be the closer.
I that's what I was thinking. I'd probably move into the closer role, try to re-sign him. And
do you try to sign Eovaldi or let him go on, get a big deal somewhere else, and figure that you probably blew out his arm in that playoffs?
I don't know. I'd hate to be the team that...
Let him go?
That lets him go.
Yeah. But he wasn't great in the regular. It's not like he was this amazing guy in the regular. See, he was serviceable. He was good, a good number three. But it's not like he doesn't have ace in waiting written all over him, you know?
Right.
He looked like it in the playoffs, but some guys just step up in the playoffs and they're just, you know, monsters in the play. I mean, look at guys like Robert Horry in basketball. He was never a superstar, but in the playoffs he was unstoppable. You know,
yeah, that's
sport,
true,
but you get,
true.
I don't know. It was a fun playoff run, that's for sure, except the games all went past midnight for the most part. Which was pretty brutal for me.
Yeah, that was tough.
But I survived. That Friday night, I had to work the next morning, Saturday, at 7:30. I had to be at the shop. Luckily, it was a nor'easter. We had it like 4 inches of rain, so there was about three people that moseyed on through. So,
Mosey to Tupu.
I was able to put my head down a few times on the desk.
Oh, very nice.
Although, you know what I did? That I got in, I had coffee already, ready to go, and then I went and went over to the Jefferson Diner and got some filthy breakfast to try to wake me up.
Oh, nice.
To go, you know. I had they have like this thing, it's a griddled cornbread, and they put poached eggs on top with hash browns and toast, and then you get, I got a side of corned beef hash. That was good stuff. I was feeling good after that. I don't have anything else. You want to hear about my beer of the week before
we take
a break? So this one is the Otter Creek Brewing Company Drip Drop Coffee Stout. Let's see what we got here. Grab a cup of the good stuff, it says. And we got a 5.6% alcohol by volume on that one.
Okay.
Coffee Stout, my favorite time of year. I always can find a couple here and there, but this is the time of year where they're out in force. So I can find some good stouts that I enjoy having. That's it. I have nothing else. You want anything? Anything else you want to talk about? Do you think Pierce should have been the MVP, or you think it should have been Price?
I would have given it to Price.
I think so too. But yeah, I mean, you can't really go wrong. The guy had a monster couple games there, though.
Yeah, Pierce. He did.
Either way, good problem to have.
Oh, did you hear one last thing before?
Okay,
did you hear Pedro talking about Manny Machado?
No, I didn't. Did he throw him under the bus?
He said Manny Machado better start changing the way he approaches the game, or either he or one of his teammates is going to get hurt. I'm like, that is beautiful, Petey.
If Pedro was pitching, if this was 99 to 2003 Pedro, and he came in the ninth inning of that game, and like where Sale was, he would have beamed him right in the neck.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered if it was the last out of the world. I mean, Sale did the right thing because he made him look like a fool, striking him out.
Mm-hmm.
But how bad do you think Sale wanted to just put one in his rib cage?
Do you remember how Petey, too, he never forgot? He would get Machado eight times for one thing. I mean, you remember against Tampa Bay, he would just
keep drilling.
Who
was that guy he always
him.
Got? It wasn't Julio Lugo. It was another guy, some scrub, right?
Yeah,
that he always hit?
Yeah, he was like back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. He was like an outfielder.
Yeah, he always got the same scrub for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he always just smoked this guy.
Just put it right in his rib cage every time.
Because I remember, I think the final straw, didn't he throw the bat down and then charge the mound?
Yeah, I think so.
And yeah, Pedro would fight, too. That's what I liked about him. He wouldn't, like, hide behind Veritek. He would fight.
He'd throw down Don Zimmer. No problem. That's funny. Yeah, Pedro was the man.
I love Pedro.
The best pitcher we'll see in our lifetimes. People can talk about Clemens all you want. Pedro's run for that 4 or 5 years when he was with the Red Sox was better than anything I've ever seen.
I heard somebody say Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher of all time.
Well, that was Sandy Koufax that said that.
No, it was somebody else, too.
Well, Joe Buck was saying that Sandy Koufax said that.
No, it was something. It was like on Baseball Tonight, like I saw it like 2 months ago.
It was Oral Hershiser.
Oral Groover, yeah, it was Oral Hershiser. You're exactly right, yep. Clayton Kershaw.
Maybe he has the best stuff. 5 years ago, he had the best stuff of all time.
I threw 97 with a nasty curve, but...
He never put it together in the playoffs, that's for sure. Now he takes over that mantle from Price, huh?
Oh, God. And the thing is Price never really pitched in big, big games.
No, his team's always kind of petered out in the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's not like he ever got the ball in a game 7.
No.
2 or 3 times and took a dump. I mean, he was always kind of one and done.
But that was part because he took a dump in those first games.
Yeah, the year that Tampa played Philly in the World Series, he was the guy out of the bullpen. I think he was their closer.
He was a rookie, though. He just came
right
in.
But that's what I'm saying. All of his playoff series, he's never been in a really big series.
That's right. That's true. Well, he pitched. He proved it this year. That's for
he
sure.
Did. He did.
All right, take us to break, Billy.
All right, Billy, we're going to take a break right now.
Mew.
Back from break. This is episode number 244. Four for 4, Monty and Gossett. Alejandro is my guest.
What are you dressing up as for Halloween, Bill?
I don't know. I might go out as like Spider-Man or something.
Ooh, Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yep.
You must have some trick or treaters in your neighborhood, huh? It's pretty young.
This is gonna be the first year. I'm gonna assume so.
I assume you'll get. Well, though, you're kind of at the construction end, though.
Right? Yeah, the other side is still the rest of the construction site. So,
you may be like a less traveled throughway there.
Like, doesn't down matter. I don't answer doors.
No, you gotta turn the lights off.
No, Susie takes care of that.
Well, so you're gonna have candy then.
Yeah,
but you're not involved, is what you're saying.
No, one year when we were living in Eden Prairie, I did shut the lights off because it was during the World Series, and she was working her part-time job.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, "Do we get any trick-or-treaters?" I'm like, "I don't know why." She's like, "Well, we got a ton of candy." I'm like, I didn't answer the door. She's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "I had a ball game to watch. I shut the lights off, and I went upstairs."
I mean, that's fair.
I'm not sitting. I'm going to be by myself as a male. Oh, who are you tonight? Oh, I can't deal with that garbage.
I mean, you can leave the bowl outside and just leave the light on. Be like, take two. Make whatever you want.
I mean, like, if you lived in the neighborhood and brought the girls over, I'd be nice to them and stuff. But, mm-hmm. You know, some, like, little schmuck. Oh, who is your Superman? Ugh. It's like, I'd just rather be in the bedroom watching baseball or something.
That's true. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Would you want to hand out candy by yourself?
No, it's not my favorite thing. I don't mind it.
No, do you take the girls and she hands out the candy? How do you guys work this deal?
Well, the last 2 years on Halloween, I've been in Disney World with my parents, so.
See, you figure out a way to get out of it, too.
Yeah, so this year, I think we're going to go. I don't know what we're doing. I think we're going out of the neighborhood, and we're just going to leave the bowl outside on the step, let people take what they want.
What was the best thing you ever got for Halloween?
I stopped trick-or-treating when I was like 11. It wasn't my thing. I did too.
I remember when I was a kid, we used to do my neighborhood. Then Bill would take me and one of my buddies over to your house.
Oh, yeah?
You probably don't... Yeah, and we'd like trick-or-treat at your parents' house and maybe a few other houses.
Like in the cul-de-sac across the street
Yeah. That was like always tradition. I remember the Rackers. Like one house actually gave out packs of baseball cards. That was the best.
That's cool.
Baseball cards?
We used to get, there was one house in the neighborhood for a while that gave out full-size candy bars. You get, I think they own like a convenience store or something.
Oh, so you get like the big crunch
bar. A double thing of Twix or like a full-size Snickers or the four-pack of Reese's Cups. Like that was
now,
pretty good.
Somebody who's a big slob like you who likes sweets, I'm surprised you didn't go trick-or-treating.
I'm not a big candy guy, though.
Oh, you don't like that,
I like
huh?
sweets, but I'm not a big fan of, like I like Reese's Cups.
Oh, I love those.
And Twix, that's about
it. Isn't that
it. Like,
funny? Because I hate sweets, but every once in a while, I could go for some type of chocolate bar.
Yeah,
like a Nestle's Crunch never disappoints. I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yeah,
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups
are good. But like,
I like Kit Kats, too.
Kit Kats I could take or leave. If it's sitting there, I'll eat it, but I don't like go and... like.
You
I'm
don't
never
go to the grocery store and buy a package of...
No, I'm never in line at the supermarket. I'm like, oh, I could go for a Snickers. Although I do like M&M's. Like peanut M&M's are pretty good. That's one of my favorites. Especially at Christmas. The red and green ones, I do like that. Anyway, I digress. Let's get in. So we're going to continue our gentleman trip review, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We're on to Sunday. We just got through talking about Shula's last week with Schaefer.
Yep.
And we recounted his heroics there. And we touched a little bit upon what we did to close out that evening. You guys went to the Gurgling Suitcase, you and Joey. And I went to Disney Springs with Schaefer because we had to do some... gift shopping for the for the folks at home.
Correct.
Now, did you have anything to add about Gurgling Suitcase? What was that like? Because I didn't get a chance to check that out.
It was okay. We just sat outside by the pool.
So you go in, grab your cocktail, and then go sit out at a table.
Just go, yeah, we had like a bar-sized table that we just sat out on.
A lot of hustle bustle down there that evening.
Yeah, it was actually pretty happening. Yes, yes.
So that's cool. Because that's what. Remember when we went that morning last year?
Yeah, fell in love with it.
Yeah, and there were people out and about at like 8 in the morning. They were sitting at the bar having a Bloody Mary. The pool was already packed. You could tell Old Key West is a different style. Like, the people that go there, I think they do more of a resort stay.
Oh, yeah.
Or a lot of people. Not necessarily everyone who stays there, but a lot of people who stay there go to stay at Old Key West, not to go to Epcot or Magic Kingdom, you know?
Right.
I got that feeling from a lot of people just every time I've been there, and that was great. Yeah. All right, so we're on to Sunday.
Correct.
And we get up, and Mr. Chef Regano makes us breakfast to order. Would we have omelets on Sunday
No,
morning?
I don't think so, because I had sunny side eggs.
That wasn't Oh, no, because Saturday was our first day there. Yeah, that's right. Monday he made the omelets, so Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday I had sunny side. What did you end up having?
I did over easy.
Okay.
Yeah, just over easy, and had some hash browns, some bake it solid. You know, the whole
cavalcade.
He had everything out ready to go. Toast yep. with some little packets of jelly that he stole from Old Key West.
Yep, yep.
So he's a like a hoarder. He's a condiment hoarder.
Yes, but it's bad. It's a disease.
Oh, definitely. You said
like
that.
I've heard he's got like thousands drawers. And thousands yeah. of ketchup.
Well, you know, he said sometimes they go to the beach and they need ketchup.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, I can see needing 14,000 Heinz ketchup packets.
As long as he's not, like, putting them back in the full bottle, like, squeezing each packet into the bottle to refill it.
You know what the worst thing is? He takes the pool towels.
Does he? Takes
I mean,
home.
Those pool towels aren't even... You shouldn't even wipe your orifice with that.
They're, like, the size of a napkin.
Oh, they're terrible. They're so thin. They're garbage. I'm like... You can get a decent beach towel for, you know, $13.99.
$13, that's expensive. You go to Walmart, you can get a beach towel for like $6.97.
Yeah, but I've bought the cheap ones. They're not as good. I'm saying if you want to get a good beach towel. Well, yeah.
I mean, even one of the pool towels from Old Key West had a poo dot on it. Remember that?
Yes.
That was not a good thing, was it?
No.
I wasn't a fan of that.
Nah, you never want to see a poo dot on you. Especially a white towel.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, if you don't know, it's there. No harm, no foul.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a big old poo dot.
You don't want that. That's not a good thing.
No.
So we get breakfast and we head off to the Palm.
Yes, the Palm.
And I'm trying to think. So we drove there again. Yeah, we took the two cars. That's right. I was trying to recount it in my head and...
No. We took the one car because remember Joe was complaining that he didn't have enough leg room?
Oh, that's right.
He just kept whining the whole drive over to the Palm. Ah, it's kind of small.
That's right. Because I'm thinking of the third day. Yeah. Yeah, we just took your car.
Yep.
We got over there.
Because we had the clubs already. They brought it over from LBV to the Palm. So
we get there and we go in. Their pro shop was much bigger. Nice stuff in there, and you
lots
did
of
a little shopping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did some shopping afterwards, but this is a Ryder Cup was going on also.
Yes.
When we were there, that was the final, but USA got blown out. There wasn't a lot of intrigue in that Ryder Cup.
No.
We got to hit balls at the driving range, which was not good, because I started hitting some hosels right there.
Oh, you're going to go hit the ball, Junior?
No cash
on
the curb.
Oh, you did. Didn't you snap a couple right into the woods, too?
Well, there was a net there, luckily. Oh, you
yeah,
mean
but
on
you
the course?
You started shanking some irons.
Not until I didn't shank any until the third day on the course.
No, I'm saying on the driving range.
Oh yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah, they were just you almost hit me, and I was standing next to you.
Yeah, I was getting nervous there.
Oh, because once you get that, you're done. You go out and shoot 137. You
well,
go
you
through
stop
about,
playing.
You just stop
playing. Yeah.
You so just when that happens
three
on
wood everywhere.
When that happens on eight. And you've just went through 30 balls, you just say, the hell with it, I'm done?
You just hit 3-wood. You start choking down on the 3-wood from, like, 114, just rolling it up there.
Yeah, but weren't you... Oh, that wasn't... But the driver, didn't you hit smoke a couple irons, too, sideways?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's only the irons that you're going to hit off the hosel. The woods don't have a hosel, so you could just...
Yeah, but what are you saying about hitting a 3-wood?
Well, you just don't play any more irons once you get the shanks.
Oh, so like when you're 140 out, you just try to dribble up a 3-wood up there.
Yeah, exactly. Just run it up there.
Oh, I've never been to that point.
No. It was okay. Like I was, I did okay at the Palm. The Magnolia started falling apart.
Yeah, well, you hurt your back.
No, it wasn't my back. It was my forearm.
What the hell did you do? Pull up on a driver? It was a tee shot, right? You kind of cringed on?
Yeah, like I pulled a muscle like in my right forearm. So I couldn't like finish my swing. I couldn't like turn my wrist over. And it went away the next day. I don't know what it was. Like, it must have chunked something, and it just, like, twinged the muscle or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, my back was fine. My legs were fine. I had nothing with that. It was, like, a temporary thing, but it just messed me up that third day. But let's get back to Sunday. So the Palm, we get out there, and that's along the Shades of Green, which used to be, what, the Disney Inn, the Disney Golf Resort?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
What a beautiful resort, by the way.
Isn't that a pretty... That was your first time there?
Yeah, I'd never been there.
Isn't that a beautiful resort?
Beautiful. It's so... I mean, you could tell it used to be like a moderate plus, like a kind of like... not quite a deluxe, but pretty deluxe.
Yeah, it was. It's...
I don't know what the price point used to be back in the day, but it's very nice. The accommodations seem very nice there. And then you're right on the golf course. That was nice. And then our first hole, we're teeing off. They sent us off 10, right? Is that the one where we started
No, the Magnolia is where we start on 10.
So we start on one, and you could just see the Polynesian directly.
We're going
the
right to the monorail station at the Polynesian. Yeah.
That was really cool. That was a cool way to start it off. And, you know, that course was very nice. I enjoyed the Palm. And that was the only one. That's the only one you had played before?
That's the only one. No, I hadn't. I had only played the Magnolia.
Oh, okay. So the first two were new to you.
Correct.
Buena Vista.
Yep.
Now, what'd you think of the Palm compared to the Magnolia? Talk about that a little bit.
I like them both. I like the Palm. I think I'd have to play them all a few times because I can't tell you if I like certain holes better or if I like this better. I mean, I liked all the golf courses.
Oh, I loved them all, yeah.
I always shied away from the Palm because everybody said that the Magnolia is wide open and the Palm is very tight. And I didn't find that to be the case at all.
No, I thought the Magnolia was the tightest of the three. Well, actually, Lake Buena Vista was probably the tightest.
Yeah.
But it wasn't unfair. It wasn't tight. Like, no. They were all wide open, like resort courses.
Yes.
You know, you definitely felt that way. But you could trick them. I mean, we also played, like, the senior tees.
Yeah, we played at about, what, 6,000?
I think it was a little more than that. I think it was, like, 63 each.
Was it 63?
Fine. You know, that's short, but it was okay. Like, none of us were big hitters, and the ball got no roll. It was kind of wet. Everything seemed to play long out there.
Oh, because, I mean, there were a few where we bombed drives, and we went out there, and I'm thinking I got pitch and wedge in, and I still had 8-iron.
And I don't know if the GPS was messed up, but we'd go out and it'd be like, oh, you hit that 187. I'm like, 187? I hit that on the screws.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there was something screwy going on. Like, either just the air was so thick or, you know, it was very wet, like they said. I don't know. I don't know if that's just Florida golf or if it was
just
something.
There were ball
weird.
Marks on a lot of tee balls in the fairway.
Yeah, you got backspin on the driver.
Yeah, you did.
That wasn't a good thing, was
check
it?
Up. Check up. Oh, you got a little bit of action on that T-ball, Pards.
Save it for the green, Pards. Yeah, I like the Palm. I like going along the road, along the monorail, playing. The first nine there was nice. I like the front nine at the Palm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ended that front nine right back at the...
Right back at Shades of Green, that little par four.
Yeah, and then you kind of drive around the curve to get to the back nine, and it's a little more in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
The back nine, which was fine. It was still good, and, you know, a lot of good holes out there. I think we all played decently the second day. I think the second day was overall probably the best for everyone, golf-wise, of our group. You know, we got the jitters out of the way from the first, and we weren't, like, exhausted like we were in the third round. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. Lake Buena Vista was definitely my favorite of the three courses that we played, but that was more due to the scenery that we were in.
Of the four resorts.
Of the resorts, and yeah, everything. And there was a lot of water on that course, which I liked because you were along the river a lot. Like, it didn't come into play, but it was there a lot more than the other ones. And yeah, I just really liked it. But I definitely could see that the Magnolia was the most challenging from the tips. Like,
yes.
That had the bones of being a really good course, like a championship course.
That's why they play you'd always play the final round on the Magnolia.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense. Like, that stretch, I know we started on 10.
Right.
But that stretch of, like, we would have been our 7th, 8th, and 9th holes, or 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, that was a fun stretch of holes.
Mm-hmm.
Right along the Grand Floridian and everything there.
Yes.
Like, that was cool. They were good holes, and it was fun, and you were, like, in a good spot. So you could definitely see why that was the final stretch there. But one of the cool things that I forgot to mention is that, like, right when you get there, they have, like, all the past champions, like, on the banner all around where the scoreboard is.
Yep.
So that was cool. It's too bad they don't play it there anymore. I don't know if, like, Disney decided not to, or the tour decided, or if it was kind of mutual, but that was kind of a fun and unique thing.
Yes.
To have the event there. I don't know why...
Well, because I'd always just be glued because this is back before YouTube. So
it was your glimpses at Disney. They'd
whatever
have, like,
you could get. Like, I used to watch the Bass Fishing Championship that they had at Walt Disney World just because you could see the Contemporary Resort and you could hear the train in the background. And
right.
But I always watched the golf because I had played there and it was awesome watching golf being played.
Well, the cool thing about that is that I'm sure, like, coming in and out of commercials, they'd show, like B-roll of the Magic Kingdom and stuff and have, like, little Disney-fied things in it, too. Not just the course, you know? Gentlemen? I didn't know if you, like, passed out on me there.
No, she was showing me a license plate that she took a picture of. It said Dole Whip.
Nice.
It was a Florida vanity plate that said Dole Whip, and then they had all their APs all over the
that's
car.
Cool. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed the Palm, and then that was our earliest round, right? We played that one, it was like 10:25 or something.
No, it was like 10:50 something, because we couldn't get the 11 o'clock rate.
Oh, to get the cheaper, that's right.
Yeah, we didn't get the 11 o'clock rate.
Which we talked about, and I would definitely, if this happens again, I'd rather play at like 7:30 and pay more.
Yeah,
money.
Oh, I would too.
Because then you have the full day. Like, as much as I love playing golf, I felt like we didn't have time. Because we slept in and we kind of lollygagged around.
Yeah.
The con. Like, I'd rather get back by noon.
And watch a college football game.
Watch football, go to the pool, not have to rush. Because, like, we had to kind of, like, rush around a few times.
Yeah.
To get to dinner.
I'm with you, definitely.
It just kind of killed the whole day. I mean, that's not a bad way to kill the whole day, but, you know.
Because one of the things I hate is being rushed, especially, like when we were all sitting in the hot tub and we were just chilling.
Right.
And then it's like, why don't two of you head back and take a shower?
Right.
Whereas, like, I would have just rather done the pool, went back to the resort, kind of sat around and hang out, and then be like, okay, I'm going to get in the shower now.
Yeah, except that doing that meant we were going to Shula's, so it wasn't a bad thing.
Right.
But I know what you mean. It would have been nice to have an extra 2-3 hours, like, in between golf and dinner, instead
right.
of just be, you know, kind of like, oh, we only got an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it was. But a good problem to have. I'm not complaining about that because it was still fantastic. But when we got back from golf, none of us had eaten any lunch. We just had that early breakfast, and then we played golf, and we were all pretty hungry. We got back, and, you know, when in Rome, you got to eat at Olivia's at least once, right?
Yes.
So they had just opened for dinner. It was like, what, 3:30 or something like that? And we went over.
Yeah, they opened at 3:30, 4 o'clock or something.
Because we didn't even change, right? We just walked right over in our golf clothes.
Yes,
over to
we
Olivia's,
did, yep.
And we sat down and had a late lunch, early dinner, whatever you want to call it. And that was nice. Good service. The waitress, she was very good, attentive, kept my soda filled almost too much. I think I had 9 sodas.
Yeah, you
lunch.
Drank quite a bit.
Good thing it wasn't beer. But I got the special. They had like a shrimp and grits special.
Yeah, how was that?
Oh, it was very good. I'm on that kick now. Remember I used to not like grits, and then I started like trying it down there?
And you like it now.
Now I like it. So I think I just had bad grits in the past.
And Schaefer got the prawns, right?
No, he got the hush puppies or something and some
oh,
soup.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I got soup too. What kind of soup did they have?
I think it was like a seafood chowder.
Okay.
And he got that, and then I think Joey got... Oh, no, Joe had the soup. Schaefer had just the hush puppies?
I think maybe? So.
Yeah. And then what you went with that fried chicken filled
that
platter,
fried
right?
chicken, that thing is gorgeous.
Because you gave me a bite of that, and it was good with the little bit of gravy on there.
Yeah, potatoes, me and your sister yeah. had that. It was fantastic.
And what is it, like $22 or something?
Yeah, and maybe not even, yeah.
And it's big, too.
Yeah, it's just a boneless chicken cutlet that they pound down, but the key is that they let it sit in that
buttermilk. Yeah, forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. Yeah, you get like some mashed potatoes and string beans, so mm-hmm. nice comfort food.
It was a good meal. I enjoyed it. It's a nice restaurant. I like the atmosphere in there.
I love Olivia's.
Yeah. It's very laid back. They have good breakfast. That's the first time I had had lunch or dinner there, and it was very good. At least this time they didn't make us make a reservation. Like, we walked up and there was like 90% of the tables were wide open.
Yeah, they yeah.
They didn't make the pretense, oh, you need an ADR. They just sat us right down. But that was nice. And that's another thing, though. Like, some of the places, like, you go to the Poly. Like, say you're staying at the Poly and you don't do a lot of research on your trip or you don't plan it out. And you get back to your room and you want to get a quick bite to eat. You go to Kona. Sorry, no reservations. You go to Ohana, no reservations. Like, it kind of stinks. Like, it's a nice thing to go to a place that has some less crowded mm-hmm. restaurants where you could just walk up and get a table, like Grand Floridian Cafe, Olivia's. You know, those are the places you like anyway. But, you know, you think about you go to, you know, if you stay at the Contemporary, I guess you got the Wave. You can always get a seat there. So it's really just the Polynesian. If you stay at the Poly and you don't make reservations, you're basically stuck eating at Captain Cook's every meal.
Right.
Or going down on the monorail to another spot. So, I don't know, just my 2 cents there. But I really liked the shrimp and grits. It was a huge portion. It was the special, so I don't remember what was it, like $26 for that or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
It was pretty cheap. A ton of shrimp, ton of the sausage. I had some chorizo in there. It was spicy. Grits were good. Very, yeah, I liked that a lot. That filled me up. That was a lot of food, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys just getting the appetizers. I don't know what they were thinking. They think we were having, like, dinner in another hour or something. Like, I was hungry. I was going to eat a full meal there.
Oh, I was starving.
Yeah. I was ready to just, like, eat wherever, whatever came up. I was going to go to the quick serve. I didn't care. I just needed something to eat. I was very hungry at that point.
Yeah, I was too.
And then after that, then we went in the pool for a little while, correct?
Yeah. We went back to the room, changed, and we sat in the pool for a while.
A long time. That was one because we didn't have any set plans. We didn't have a reservation. We were just going to do... We wanted to do Top of the World that night.
But we knew we could go over there whenever we wanted.
Yeah, we didn't have a set time, so we just hung in the pool basically till it started getting dark.
Yeah.
And we were there for a while, and then, you know, we took our showers, and we headed over. This time, we took the bus to the Magic Kingdom instead of doing a lift.
Yes, we did.
And we got there, we got off the bus, walked over. I do have to say... where we stayed, we were the first bus stop. There's like 96 bus stops in Old Key West. I felt like
that was awful.
I felt like we were on the bus for like an hour and a half before we got off of Old Key West. But what we should have done was walk to the lobby from our room and gotten that bus stop because that was the last one there.
Right.
And then we would have been fine. We would have gotten right out of property and gotten over to the Magic Kingdom. That's a small thing. So we did that. We got on the bus, got off of the Magic Kingdom, walked right over to the Contemporary, which is not easy, by the way, to get off the bus and walk to the Contemporary. We had to hop
do
over
a little
bushes
bit of
stuff.
Yeah, you got to do some jaywalking. Yeah,
it wasn't like you could just say, "Oh, we're not going to the Magic Kingdom," and just walk over there. Like technically, what we were supposed to do was walk all the way up, go through security, and then walk all the way down that path. It would have taken us probably an extra 15 minutes if we did it that way.
Yeah, that would have been stupid.
And then we just cut through a couple...
Jumped a few fences.
Yeah. We didn't do anything, like, totally sketchy. Like,
Joe, you got your wire cutters.
Yeah. Yeah. No one gave us any crap. We just walked right over. Got there and then went into the Bay Lake Tower. Took the elevator up to the, 19th floor, whatever it is, 18th floor.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the Top of the World where... They were horribly understaffed.
Oh, it was awful.
Like, it was nice up there. Very nice. But, man, they had one bartender and two waitresses.
And the place was packed.
And everyone was getting antsy. No one was getting their stuff on time. I mean, it took, what, like 25 minutes to get you a Bud Light bottle?
Yeah.
That we ordered and, you know, wasn't great. It was, like, nothing was bad. There was nothing bad about it, except the service was slow, and it wasn't the server's fault. They were just understaffed.
Right.
That's a management problem.
Because I think me and Mike went out to do some filming, and right. I asked you to order me a Bud Light, and we went out there for, like you said, you know, 15, 20 minutes. We did some lives, and we did some on my video camera, and I came in kind of looking at you. I'm like, did you forget? And you're like, I haven't gotten anything yet.
Yeah, I don't think she'd even come over at that point to ask if I...
It was awful. It was so bad.
Yeah. I felt bad because the waitress, she was hustling. She just didn't have, it wasn't what, she needed two or three more people there.
Right.
But it was worth it for the view of those fireworks.
That was good, like, wasn't it?
I've seen the fireworks from the top near the California Grill, and you have as well. I think it's a better view from there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. It, also less crowded than, sometimes the California Grill can be a little crowded because they let you go back up there if you've eaten there in that evening. But, yeah, that view was amazing. You could see it. And that was the Halloween fireworks, which I had never seen.
No, they were good, weren't
good
they?
Good fireworks. But the one thing that really stuck out to me was the perspective you get, how far some of those blasts
set off. Yeah, it's like they shot off in Davenport.
Yeah, it's so, and like how it all comes together when you're standing in front of the castle and how it just looks like you don't get that same... Like, the looks of it, like how they all come together, but it's still an incredible show from up there.
And
the music's piped in and everything. So that was really cool. So we did that, paid our tab, and we got out of there and hopped on the...
Which we really didn't have to do because she never brought the check.
No.
And then we went outside to watch the fireworks.
Yeah.
And we could have just walked right out of the place, but...
We could have been total weasels.
Yeah.
But that's not in our nature. That's
no,
not
absolutely not, no.
We went over... Got on the monorail, Grand Canyon Concourse. Oh, the other thing, though, that is kind of irksome, and I don't know why, but nothing's open past 11.
Oh, when Kristen and I wanted to do our monorail pub crawl, it was the same thing. It was, everything was closed.
Yeah, everything. Like, so we wanted a little extra to eat, because those guys hadn't eaten a lot, and, you know, you and I are always good to eat more food. And we were going to go to the Wave, and nope, closed at 11, or 10:30 or something stupid. Even the quick serves aren't open. Like, some of them are open.
Yeah, late. The ones that are 24 hours weren't at that time.
Well, no, the one, I guess Gasparilla was, but we didn't stop at the Grand Floridian.
No,
we
no. Right.
But, like, the Captain Cook's was closed. You know, the other bar at the upstairs at the Poly was under refurb, so we went out to the outdoor section at Trader Sam's, which we can get into that in a second. But despite what you thought of the service and the food there, that's a great little spot, isn't it?
Yeah, outside it is, of course.
Yeah. That's fantastic, but I wish they had a little bit of a better system going there. We ordered a couple of the appetizers, not a lot to choose from, and they were serviceable. You didn't like them. I thought they were okay, nothing great.
Yeah, they were serviceable.
The drinks were, you know, not what you want. You wanted a Bloody Mary. They didn't have Bloody Mary stuff, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the menu says that this is a rum factory, right. And there might not be some drinks. I didn't think, you know, I didn't think I was asking for a blueberry martini. I figured a Bloody Mary would be possible.
But. Yeah, but no, they didn't have that one on the menu. And yeah, they kind of stunk, like, because we watched the fireworks, and what were they, 10:15 they started, so by the time they ended and we paid and we got out of there, it was after 11.
Yeah.
And there was just nothing open. Like, we had a little bit of nibble at Trader Sam's, and then we took the monorail back to the Magic Kingdom, got on the bus back to Old Key West.
Yep.
And then we raided the fridge for some leftovers from Shula's.
Oh, and olives.
Olives and the prosciutto. And I had the
Giancusa, the olives and the ketchup packets. Because
that's when
battle.
I ate the...
Because
I zapped up that crab mac and cheese.
Oh, you bastard. You did. You only gave me like a little spoonful, too.
I asked anyone if they wanted leftovers. No one spoke up. So I went in and zapped that thing and scarfed it all down, drinking some beers out on the porch. That's the night we were out on that porch till like 3 a.m, weren't we?
That was lovely, wasn't
it? That was very nice. It was perfect weather, just sitting out there laughing, no one around us. Like, we weren't like bothering anybody. It was like we had the whole building to ourselves, which it,
yeah, because
have.
Yeah, there were a lot of units that weren't being used that weekend.
Yeah, and then as soon as we checked out, they just like started taking the wrecking ball to that thing.
Yeah,
they were ready to refurb that unit, so we were the last ones there. But. Yeah, that sums up the Sunday. I guess that bring anything else? Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. Mention? What did you think of Trader Sam's? Was that your first time there?
I had gone inside a few years ago with Mary when she was living down there, and I went to visit her. We went for a couple hours, and it's cool. It's nice. Like, the inside's pretty cool. I like those kind of drinks occasionally, like to have a rum drink here and there, so that doesn't bother me. And like inside, they have all like the special effects when you order a certain drink, the bartenders do something, and like there's screens on the walls that change, and like smoke comes out of the ceiling and stuff, so that's pretty cool. But that's not the kind of place that you want to go with four guys that are just looking to shoot the breeze,
right?
You know, that's something you go just to, you know, a silly diversion for an hour or two and see like all the effects and then get out of there. So, but I mean, I like the drink I had, the Krakatoa Punch. I had that before. I enjoyed that. It was a good drink. And then yeah, the inside's fun. The outside is a great spot. I love that.
Very, very that location. Nice spot.
Now, if that was just a regular bar where you could just get like some draft beers and cocktails,
that would have been
like,
nice, wouldn't it? Yeah,
food, that would be great.
Yeah,
just wasn't the bed. And again, the service wasn't great there either.
Well, and the unfortunate thing was that we were going to go to Tambu Lounge that was down for refurbishment. That's right. Where we were originally going to go.
Yeah. But all the lounges close at like 11 or midnight. All the quick serves close at 10:30, 11. Like, you, like the Wave, like we said, like you'd think the bar part would at least stay open till midnight, but no, that was closed at like 10:30 or 11.
I know.
It's kind of a bummer because we were looking to, you know, do some. There's no like late night anything there. It's too bad.
No, Old Key West closes at midnight, and that place was hopping the other night.
Yeah, they just shut it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get they have to do last call at some point, but it seems like 11 or midnight's a little too early.
Yeah, I would think like whatever the law was, you know. I think the Florida state law might be two or three. I mean, I could see not wanting to extend it that far, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, noon just seems early for me, especially like if you're like a couple and you do the Magic Kingdom and you close it and you say you want to go get a cocktail or two at Old Key West, there's no chance.
Yeah, right. If it closes at 11, by the time you get on the bus and get back, you're going to miss it. Last call already happened.
Right.
You know, then you're scrambling going into the quick serve and grabbing a couple of Bud Lights out of the cooler before they close that thing down. I mean, we could have, you know, prepared more, but it's nice to go to the... Like, we could have just went back and drank in the room.
Yeah, but that's what we could do at our houses anyways.
Yeah, sometimes you want to go out to the bars and have a couple pops.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be my only complaint, but I guess that's, you know, we have to just be a little more prepared going into it.
Mm-hmm.
No, and just start it earlier. That's
why
which
I think is the lesson, yep.
Yeah, we just got to push everything earlier.
Yep.
3-4 hours, you know, golf 3-4 hours earlier, then we get our pool time earlier, and then we have the whole, you know, from 5 o'clock till 11.
If you wanted to go back and take a nap, which if you're playing golf at 7:30, 8 o'clock, you probably would, but it would be nice to...
Yeah, you do the pool, the you do pool for a couple hours, mm-hmm. nap for an hour, whatever. Yeah, definitely can't go wrong with that. Yeah, I feel like that was our biggest fault, is that we just wasted a lot of time in the morning waiting yep. for golf to start.
Yep.
Because it's not like you're going to wake up at 8 and go to the pool for an hour before we play golf.
Right.
You know, that's not happening. At least not for me. Anyway, that's all I have. You got anything else you want
to... I got nothing. You want to take our second break?
Yeah, let's go to the break.
I hopped up the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z. In my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls not around me. It's definitely not a Nashville party. Cause all I see is the lit up. I guess I never got the memo. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. It's when the DJ drummed my favorite tune. And a Britney song was on. So I put my hands up to play my song. The butterflies fly away. Nodding my head like yeah. Moving my hips like yeah. I got my hands up to play my song. You know I'm gonna be okay. Yeah. It's a party in the USA. Yeah. It's a party in the USA.
All right, we're back from break, episode number 244 of the Por Favor Montaigne Gase Alejandro's podcast is in the books.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
There were a lot of gentlemen on that trip, weren't there?
Yeah, there were quite a few.
I think Joe adopted those pretty quick.
Let's not go there.
You don't want to talk about babysitting Uncle Joey on Sunday night?
Uncle
Joey. You were ready to throw him off the top.
You could tell, couldn't you?
You were getting a little frustrated. And then he was doing that drunk thing where he's like, why aren't you talking to me? What's the
yes!
matter?
Yeah, Uncle Joe.
That's all right. We just have to cut back on those rum and cokes for him a little bit.
Yeah, but who's going to do that? Somebody has to be responsible. I think we told Mike he was responsible for him, and he wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean, he already saved the guy's life once.
Do you remember, too, when we got back to the room, and he was done? I mean, he was done on the bus ride. He kept doing the jabbing, and then he ended up falling asleep on the bus?
Yeah, you wanted to leave him on the bus.
Him on the bus. That would have been awful, wouldn't it?
That wouldn't have been very nice.
I was going to leave Uncle Joe on the bus, and then we get back to the resort, and I think he's done. He's going to go to bed. What was the first thing he did?
He made a cocktail.
Remember I said, oh, no. Wasn't that my expression?
Yeah, because we thought it was going to be like me, you, and Schaefer sitting out on the porch just having a couple belts. But Schaefer had his flight the next morning because he left early.
Right.
So he like didn't want to hang on too long because he knew that would be bad news. Although he stayed for, he hung out for quite a long time.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I think he just slowed his drinking down a little bit. I think he was trying to be responsible. But yeah, and then he's out making cocktails, coming out, trying to squeeze by us on the porch.
Oh, like just falling on us. He's got his like wife beater. And yeah, he was walking around with like his wife beater and undies.
Yeah.
And he's like bumping into you. And he didn't make one. He didn't have a nightcap. He had about four or five that when we got back, didn't he?
Well, because like I almost wanted to stop and like let him fall asleep and then go back out, like kind of trick him.
Oh, like go watch TV?
Yeah, be like, I think I'm going to hit the hay, and then you go like you go into yours, and then like wait till he starts snoring, then we go back out and continue the conversation out on the porch.
Oh, I was just scared because he was a mess to begin with.
And then he was up at like 7:30 clanking around with the pots and pans, though.
I know, like I'm like laying in bed, and I'm like, you know, like when you like, God, I hope it's only 5 in the morning, and you look at your alarm, and it's like 8, and you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
And I hear and I smell bacon and all that. I go, what the hell is Uncle Joe doing out there?
He was a mess. He's a good dude, though.
Yeah, you heard the clanking and the this, yeah. And you could smell the sausage and the this. I'm like, 7:45 for crying out loud. I mean, Schaefer was long gone. I heard him leave. Did you?
Yeah, he said bye to me. Because I like, woke up when he was leaving. So
yeah, like, I mean, you and I went back to shut-eye, didn't we?
I kind of was, like, putzing. Like, I was trying to fall asleep. I was watching YouTube on my phone and stuff.
Oh, were you?
To fall back asleep. Yeah. But, yeah, I think that breakfast sat out on the plate for, like, 2.5 hours after it was finished cooking.
Yes.
Like, he had that ready, and then it was just, like, it just sat there. Like, do you think we were waking up at 8:15 to have breakfast?
After being up till 3 in the morning?
Yeah. I don't know. And his that alarm. He had, like, his phone, like, on the counter, like, 10 feet away. The alarm
I didn't hear any of that. I think Schaefer mentioned that.
The alarm went off for, like, 20 minutes before he got up and turned it off.
What was it, like a doo-doo-doo-doo-doo?
No, it wasn't even that one. It was, like, more, like, visceral than that. It was not, I don't remember what it was, but it was not a good one. Not a pleasant one.
Wait, were you doing some Effenheimers into your pillow?
I was just like shaking my head trying to sleep. I had my headphones in, so I
that's right. That's what you sleep in.
Yeah.
Were you at any point just going to yell, Joe, for crying out loud?
No,
you never got to that point.
I didn't get to that point, but it was close.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about where my bedroom placement was, but I heard you and Schaefer talk about it. But
yeah. Well, he put like his phone, like there's like a little shelf near the front door.
Oh, it was over there?
Yeah, and that's right next to the doorway to our room.
Where you guys were. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's why. I thought it would be, like, on the kitchen table.
No. Yeah, you would think that.
Oh, because that's where he was charging it, because there was a plug right under there.
That's right, yeah. So he just left it plugged in there. Alarm's going off.
He's not waking up.
No, then he's shuffling around, pots and pans, making omelets. I'm like, I wanted to go out there and be like, just go back to bed. I'll be up at 10 if you want to make me an omelet.
You didn't lose it, though, did you? You composed yourself.
We need to get the invite back. He doesn't know me that well, you know?
That's true.
Now we're old friends. Now I'll bust his chops next year. You know, you had to play it close to the vest on this one.
Yeah, that's
true. We gave it to him pretty good. Like, once you got the hang of it and you could see that he could take it, you didn't mind, like, giving him a hard time because you were calling him... You know, you're making fun of him for the union and stuff, and he was laughing. We won't get into that right now at 58 minutes, but...
Right.
We had fun.
I was hammering him, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were going...
And I kept looking over at you, and you're just, like, looking down. You're like, I want to say something, but I can't.
I eventually said something, but I was biting my tongue for a while.
Yeah, I was out there all by myself.
On an island. You know, Schaefer's not going to say anything.
No, him and Schaefer, I think, wanted to beat me up.
I think if they gave
each other the nod, then I was going to get my ass kicked that night.
Well, you were lucky because I was there.
That's true. Muscle, you would have helped me. It would have been at least 2-on-2.
Yeah. Because they're both like, you know, they're probably tough guys, firefighters, but they're skinny. We're like linebackers. They're like little like third down running backs, those guys.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We got the height and the size advantage on those guys.
I gotcha.
They have the speed, but I think at that point in the night, we would have been okay.
We would have gotten dirty. I think Joe would get dirty. He'd hit you with a frying pan. He's the type of guy that if he's losing a fight, he's going between your legs and squeezing.
Yeah, I think you're right about
that.
Don't
you think he's one of those like New York just,
guy? Yeah, yes, just scrappy yes. guy. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Just squeezing. All right, bring us home. This is you're dropping F bombs.
I'm probably gonna leave that one in too.
I'll just wander willing. Now wander willings.
We should probably take it out. If
I'll try to. I'm just. I can't promise anything. I'm not gonna purposely leave it in. Right, you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. Search for us at Fourth of War Podcast. Our Facebook page is Fourth of War Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Fourth of War Podcast. You can email the show info@fourthofwarpodcast. You can email me, Dr. Hurley, at Mike at Fourth of War Podcast, Mr. Quisler.
You can email me at Gary at Gary.
That would be a great email address, wouldn't it? How do you spell it, W?
Gary@fourthofwarpodcast.com. YouTube is youtube.com/fourthofwarpodcast.
All right, thanks for listening. Episode 244 of the Fourth of War Fontangase Alejandro de los Podcast. For Mr. Klinsman up in westerly Rhode Island, I'm Dr. Hurley down in sunny southwest Florida, and we'll talk to you next week. Oh, that's a shame. But I'm a wishin'